So once again, I would like to welcome you all on this Friday evening. Thank you for deciding to spend your Friday evening in the Word of God. So turn with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter 13. I don't know how many of you had a chance to read this chapter. It is rather a lengthy chapter. But as we as we've been looking at this book, we are not going verse by verse as we usually do, but rather section by section. And so the first few Bible studies that we did, I would think about 3-4 weeks, we were in the first 8 chapters, which primarily dealt with sacrificing. And we saw the significance of all those sacrifices and how all of those sacrifices, all that ceremony points directly to Jesus. What he has done for us, and it speaks clearly of the ministry of Jesus. Then we looked at chapter 8, 9, and 10, where we saw the anointing of the high priest, and all the ceremony and all the cleansing and all the purification that needed to be done. And we saw how all of it, the washing and the sanctifying and just being called, all of it speaks to us about how we are to do ministry, how we are to worship. We saw in chapter 9 that how we approach a holy God, right? And it was all about it's all about holiness when we look at the book of Leviticus. And as last time when we looked at chapter 11 and 12, where we were looking at the clean food and unclean food, what we have is the spiritual aspect of it, that what are we to consume? It matters what we consume. We are separated from the world. The way we talk, the what we read, what we watch, what we put in our body, whether it is physical or spiritual, matters. And as we saw in chapter 11, that at the end of chapter 11, it tells us, be holy because I am holy, which is repeated by Peter in New Testament. So today we open up a new section, which is chapter 13 to 15. When we look at this 3 chapters, they primarily deal with bodily illnesses, mainly skin diseases, okay? And discharges, and I know that's an uncomfortable subject. Nonetheless, you know, in this Bible study, skip things. So we will have to address some tough issues when we get into chapter 15. I do want to get there today, but it's highly unlikely that we will get there. It deals with bodily infirmities. And ultimately, what it talks to us about is our need for Jesus. So when we look at chapter 13, it primarily deals with symptoms or signs of leprosy. Now, when we look at leprosy in the scripture, leprosy, as it is written in the Old Testament, especially in chapter 14 and 15, leprosy, the Hebrew word for leprosy, can mean a lot of skin diseases. It's not just one sickness. Leprosy, as we see in the Bible, no longer exists today. When you think of leprosy, it is compared to Hansen's disease, which is a curable disease at this point in most cases. What we read in the scripture, that was not a curable disease. And as we will move further into this chapter, we will see what it speaks to us of. So leprosy in the Bible always talks to us about sin. Now, when we look at the nation of Israel, when we look at the chosen people, God had promised them his protection. You know, when you look at Exodus chapter 15 verse 26, look what it says over here. It says, and God said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. When we look at Deuteronomy chapter 29, I believe it's verse 6, God talks to them about his faithfulness during those years in the wilderness that I provided for you. Your clothes did not wear out, your shoes did not wear out, and so forth. And here, what I just read in Exodus chapter 15, he has continued to promise them that protection if they walk according to his commandments. And when we read a verse like this, when he says, if you diligently heed the voice of your Lord, Lord your God, we should never think of this as somehow he's going to punish them if they don't listen and the diseases will come upon them. I also do not want to don't want anyone to have this misunderstanding that disease means punishment from God, or that you are not in obedience to the word of God. That's not found in the scripture. So I do not want you to think from that perspective that disease means that somehow you are in sin. Now, could it be? Yes, it could be, but that's not how God deals with it. When it says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord, what it means is, if you follow what I am telling you to follow, you are going to spare a lot of trouble. And those of us who are parents, we know, we tell our kids this, right? If you do your homework, if you clean your room, there will not be any consequences. If you don't do it, then there is consequences. It's not necessarily that you want to punish them, not necessarily that you want to see them at suffering, but as an adult, we have lived a life and we know what the consequences are going to be if they make certain choices. And so that's exactly what God is telling his people. If you diligently heed the voice. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15, look what it says there. If you read from 13 on, it will give you a full idea. In interest of time, I will read verse 15. It says, and the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. See, God had promised them protection. Right? And as I said, the word leprosy translated here includes various skin diseases. Mildew and so forth. But if you just look at this as a surface, and if you started to read chapter 13, I'm going to be honest with you, it is a tough read. Okay, it's a long chapter. It's almost 60 verses here. It's not an easy read. Reading all these things about the scabs and sore and hair growing here and this happening and that opening. It's not an easy read. I understand that, okay? But let me tell you, this is a great chapter when it comes to our spiritual walk today. And I'm hoping that end of the Bible study today, you will agree with me. So if we just look at this chapter on a surface, okay? It is not just about description of skin disease, symptoms, and ceremonies, and so forth. These chapters deal with sin. What we have in these three chapters, chapter 13 deals with sin. Chapter 14 brings us the good news of salvation. And then chapter 15, we will talk about sanctifying ourselves or sanctification. That's how this section breaks down. So sin, like leprosy, begins underneath the surface of the skin, right? When you have some kind of infirmity, if you have some kind of a spot or something on your skin, it is not easily noticed. Usually it starts underneath the surface of skin. And even when it manifests itself on the skin, you are able to hide it, right? No one can see it. No one knows initially what is going on with you. And even to you, it seems like it's not a big deal. But it moves rapidly. It spreads. And when it spreads, it completely destroys your body. In the case of sin, it completely destroys your soul. Secondly, as I mentioned before, the biblical leprosy was a devastating disease. And if you look at leprosy, and I do not say this to gross you out, it's necessary for me to explain this to you, okay? The leprosy, what it does is, it destroys your nerve endings. And if you have ever read about those people who are in a leprosy colony, you know, what happens to them is they completely lose feelings on their toes and the fingertips and so forth. So if a rat eats them, or if anything, any kind of injury, they have no idea what is going on. Somebody can eat their whole toe and they would not know. They have no sensitivity at all, right? When you look at sin, right, sin has the same effect spiritually on us. You are desensitized, right? That's the whole thing that we see in the world today. When we watch TV, when we hear what's out there, when you watch things on social media and so forth, they are trying to normalize sin, desensitize us. Right? What used to bother us before, now it has become normal. Right? When I'm in my 50s, as many of you are, and if you remember when we were young, when we were in our 20s, all right, when we were used to go to high school and college, to see a gay couple, that was a rarity, and that would be an uproar. Now they have desensitized us. That has become a norm for our children. That is not a big deal to hear somebody is living an alternative lifestyle. It is not. And the things that they are trying to normalize, they are redefining morality. That is the effect of sin. It desensitizes you where these things, where it should be pain, like when you have leprosy, even if you get a little paper cut, you know, how bothersome that becomes. A little paper cut, right? And we are like, oh man, that hurts. Here, if you are infected with leprosy, somebody can cut off your toe and that would not mean anything to you whatsoever. Slowly, you are rotting away. And that is the effect of sin on your spiritual life. You know, as it is often said that I fell into sin, but rarely somebody falls into sin. We walk in step by step, and we get to that point where we are so desensitized, we have no idea how I got myself here. And as I said, the first trait of leprosy, you know, it starts under the surface. Hey, nobody knows that I'm clicking on this website and I'm watching this. Nobody knows what I'm reading on my phone or what kind of images I'm looking on my phone. Nobody knows what I'm doing. But before you know it, that sin has a hold of you and you will be exposed. You will be exposed. Look what, you know, let me show you this from a New Testament perspective. Look what Paul tells the church of Ephesus. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 19. Look what it says over there. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 19. It says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, you see that? No sensitivity, okay? Have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness." How did they get into this this place? Past feeling. This is where sin brings you. So when you look at the leprosy here in this chapter, what it's speaking to us is our sinful condition. Sinful condition. Other thing that I want to mention to you about leprosy, leprosy is incurable. There is not a single case, although we have all this ceremony here in chapter 13, and we are going to look at it in chapter 14. There was no one in the Old Testament, okay, besides one Gentile who was ever healed of leprosy. And that one Gentile was Naaman, the Syrian, right? You remember he comes to Elisha. Elisha is not even willing to see him. He tells him, "Go and dip 7 times in the in Jordan River." And he's insulted by it, but he does it anyway. And you know that he was cured. He was the only person in the Old Testament who was healed of leprosy. One other person who was healed from leprosy was Miriam, Moses's sister, but she was specifically punished by God. And then after 7 days, she was led back into camp. No one else was ever healed of leprosy. Until when? Until Jesus is on the scene. Right? And then when we see that all these lepers are getting healed, all these lepers are getting being cleansed. So that's another thing that I want you to understand. Leprosy was never cured. Whenever you read in the scripture, and what it says is, leprosy was cleansed. You see, there is no cure for sin, as we will see at the end of the chapter. There is no cure for the sin. You need to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. That is the only way. That is the only way you can be cleansed of the sin. There is no cure. You cannot cure yourself of sin. There is no medication. There is no cure for sin. Because you need a new heart. We are born in sin. That we need a new heart. We need Jesus to intercede for us and give us that new heart. Otherwise, there is no way to have a victory over sin. Much like leprosy, you are cleansed from leprosy. And I'll have something further to say about that later on. Okay, and the fourth and the last thing that I want to say about leprosy, right? Leprosy brought separation. When a person was infected with leprosy, he would be sent away from the camp. He needed to be in isolation. At the best, he would be in a leper colony with other lepers. Right? And this is what sin does to you. It separates you. It isolates you. Right? Depending on the type of sin and how far you have gone down that rabbit hole, It will separate you from your friends. It will separate you from your spouse. It will separate you from your family. It will separate you from your job. Depending how many people we know, because of their sinful lifestyle, they have lost everything in their life. Right? We are talking about it destroys the relationship. It destroys, it breaks heart. It splits the families apart. This is what sin does. And so I hope you see the point here that leprosy speaks to us about sin. So now as I read a few verses, and there are some wonderful lessons here for us to learn, especially as a church, as a body of Christ, there are some principles that are given here that are very, very good for us to follow in our own life, okay? Let me show you verse 1. Look what it says there. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest." Now, depending on what version you read, it speaks to us about flesh. Okay, look what it says in KJV. Okay, verse two, it says, "When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising," right? And that isn't that what sin is all about? It's about flesh rising. It is flesh overtaking the spiritual, right? Flesh demanding its own way. I want to be satisfied. Paul tells us, "Oh, what a wretched man that I am," when he talks about the flesh. Flesh wants its own way. Flesh wants to be satisfied. And that's why when you look at it here, he says, "When a flesh rising," that's the sign of the disease. That's the sign of the sin. Okay, look at what it says in verse 3, and you're going to see this couple of words over and over again in this next three chapters, right? But look what it says in verse 3. It says, "The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean." Once again, I want to remind you, which I had mentioned last time, when we were looking at clean and unclean food. When we see this word unclean, do not think of that from the salvation perspective. Unclean does not equate to lost. Unclean does not equal to someone who is in a sinful lifestyle. When we looked at chapter 12, when it spoke about the woman after giving the birth and said she was going to be unclean for 40 days. It did not mean that she was in sin or she was lost. It's speaking of a physical uncleanliness. We must remember that. Okay. So whenever we read unclean, don't think of these people as somehow they are lost or, they are in sin. But the word that I want you to notice here is the word examine. And in some other translation, you will see again that the word examine and look are all over these chapters, right? Examine. And that's an important thing here. The priest had to examine. Now, if you read further, okay? If you read further, and I'm not going to... What I want you to notice here is the investigation did not include just the person. Later on, we will see its clothing as well. And when we get into the next chapter, which seems highly unlikely today, it even includes homes. So this examination that we are speaking of included all of these things. The other thing here, what we read, right? The person had to be brought to the priest. Person had to be brought to the priest. Now, for those of you who read this chapter, whose responsibility was it to bring the person to the priest? And if you read carefully, what you will see here is it was the responsibility of everyone. Everyone. And here is an important lesson, right? In our churches, when we see a problem such as leprosy, okay, which is a serious problem, and as I have been speaking to you, we are speaking of sin. You see certain behavior, certain things that are taking place, right? It needs to be dealt with. And something as serious as leprosy has to be dealt with by leaders. There are things that should not be dealt at a congregational level. Leaders, pastors have to get involved. And so it was a responsibility of the whole church. Many times what we say is, hey, that's not my job. He's a leader. He should do something about it. No. When you see a problem, when you see a sinful behavior, that needs to be addressed. Because as we are seeing here, you know, and all these examinations, which I'm not going to bore you with, the whole purpose of all of this thing is that the rest of the camp would not be infected. As we know, the skin diseases can be very infectious and it can spread rapidly. We know all sicknesses, right? We know the airborne sicknesses can spread very quickly. And to protect the rest of the camp, you had to take this step of isolation. And that is no different for us here in the church as a body of Christ. When we see certain behavior, when we see sinful behavior, we need to protect the camp. We need to protect the body of Christ. And if that means that that person has to be put out, that's what we need to do. But that is something that should not be dealt by the congregation. That's something that needs to be dealt by a pastor and a leader. Another thing that you notice is that this diagnosis, okay, this judgment, the priest had to take his time. He had to take his time. This is not something he does hastily. It's not like, you know, people bring a person and say, hey, I believe he has a leprosy, and then he's put out of the camp. Just like in our churches, we can't just have 2-3 people come and say, hey, this guy is a troublemaker, put him out of the church. He had to examine, right? And there is a great description that's been given here. Great description that's been given here. What the priest had to do. Now, this should, this should really come into your mind here, right? Priest is not a doctor. He's a priest. Yet he's examining this. Again, this speaks to us about a spiritual situation, as we will see in the next chapter. But the priest, what did he have to do? Look, if you read carefully this chapter, what you will see is there were 2 7-day period that he had to examine, wait, and see how this thing goes. And at the end of that time, he makes his decision whether this person has leprosy or not, or does this person need to be put out of the camp or not. And so that should be the same way where how we deal with things, where we take our time, we examine, we investigate. You know, when you go into the book of Judges, perhaps some of you are familiar with this portion of scripture. The Manasseh, the 2.5 tribe who wanted their inheritance on the other side of the Jordan River. After all the battles are fought and they have won, now they go back and they set up a monument. And now the word comes to the rest of the tribe. Hey, these guys have set up something, and they're going to worship there and so forth. Okay, and now these 10 tribes are angry. Right, these tribes were angry. They said, "Hey, what are these guys doing? Why are they creating another place of worship?" And so Phinehas goes and speaks to the tribe of Manasseh, right? And they were ready to go to war. This is somewhere in Joshua chapter 22, 23. You can read the full account. But then they go and talk and then investigate. And then they find out, hey, they are just putting a memorial there to make sure that the other tribes remember that they are part of the inheritance, that they are the descendants of Jacob. And the war was avoided. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 13 says this: corrupt men have gone out from among you and entice the inhabitants of their city. I'm reading Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. The inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. Then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently, and if it is indeed true and certain that such an abomination was committed among you. What does he say then? That you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently. This is not just in passing you are asking, right? You are digging. You are investigating. You are asking diligently to find out, is this true? Right? Before we decide to hang somebody, before we decide to take some severe action against somebody, we need to be sure that what is being said is true. And sometimes, we take things lightly. We need to be very careful. We need to be very careful about what we say, right? And don't believe everything you hear. Because let me tell you, if someone were to come to you, okay, and tell you, hey, you know that guy AJ who leads the Bible study? You have no idea what kind what he did. Now, he may not mention anything what I did. He may not say anything to you. But from that day on, you will be looking at me differently. And you will be always wondering, hey, what did this guy do? Is he really who he says he is? And the relationships can strain. We have to be very, 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 very careful about what we say and what we believe. Investigate, search it out. And then we take action. Right? In a church, usually what I have seen in my experience is either the decision is made very hastily or no decision is made. There is a place. There is a place for discipline. There is a place for discipline, as we will see a little bit later on. Verse 7, look what it says. The sin spreads. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees the scab as indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. At the skin, the sin will always spread. It's like trying to hide smoke. It's not possible. Right? You cannot cover up a fire and say, hey, I'm going to start a little fire here and I'm going to try to hide a smoke. It's not possible. As it says in Numbers, okay, your sin will find you out. And it is inevitable that sin will spread. A couple of more verses that I want to speak to you about. So if you can turn to verse 12. Look what it says there, okay? Verse 12 and 13 is what I want to look at it. It says, and if leprosy breaks out all over the skin, and the leprosy covers all the skin of the one who has the sore from his head to his foot, wherever the priest looks, then the priest shall consider, and indeed, if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean. Did you hear that? He says, if leprosy is covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean. Who has the sore? It has all turned white. He is clean. Kind of sounds strange, right? But what he's saying over here is, because the leprosy has covered the whole body, now it is not active. And such person was announced clean. And that is what happens to us, right? When we are looking at sin, it is when I realize I am a sinner from head to toe, from top to bottom, wherever you turn, that I can't cover my sin anymore. I cannot hide it anymore. I cannot defend myself anymore. I cannot explain away things anymore. There is no way for me to justify myself anymore. That's when I begin to move toward being clean. Because now I have come to the point where I need a Savior. Right? It is only when you know you are a sinner and there is no escape, that's when you turn to the Savior. The confession is the real key. But confession alone is not enough. Let me tell you that, okay? David, when he has that great repentance in chapter 51, what we read in Psalm chapter 51, he says, I was conceived in sin. That's his confession, okay? Isaiah, in chapter 6, he says, woe unto me, I'm an unclean man, man of unclean lips, right? He was undone. Peter, when he encounters Jesus, right? He says, I'm a sinful man, a prodigal. When he's eating with the pigs, he says, what am I doing here, right? I have sinned. And there was a change in them. There was a change in them. But as I said, confession alone is not enough. Because there were other men. Pharaoh said, I have sinned against God. Saul said, I have sinned against God. Right? Judas said, I have betrayed an innocent blood. But none of those confession, right, resulted in salvation. Because those confession came from the point where they said, hey, I am caught. Okay, it was more of a remorse rather than a repentance. The other men, they had true repentance. And so that's something we need to understand. Those second sets of men were confessing because they knew they had been caught. But the first group, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, they had godly sorrow. Do you have a godly sorrow? And then when you look at verse 14 here, look what it says. But when a raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. But, right, that but connects verse 14 to verse 13. And it speaks to us about the man who's been covered from head to toe with leprosy. Right? And what it's saying is, if there is a fresh occurrence or eruption, then the man is not clean. And that's the same thing for us, right? If we confess to be truly born again, we do not practice sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 tells us that. Right? The one who's born again, we do not practice sin. No habitual sin, okay? We are, until the day we die, we are a sinful, flesh-oriented man, and we may sin. I'm speaking of a habitual, sinful lifestyle. And so verse 14 connects us back to verse 13. So this is about not just physical cleansing, right? This is about a spiritual cleansing. In interest of time, and I have much to say, I'm going to move all the way to verse. Let me see, verse 38 maybe. No, we'll go to verse 44. Let's go to verse 44. He's a leprous man, he's unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. The sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is his cloth shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean all the days he has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 to 20, look what it says over there. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with an unwashed hand does not defile a man. What I just read to you is talks to us about a defilement, right? The word unclean, if you look at it in these two chapters, it is it's mentioned about 54 times, right? And it talks to us about a ceremonial defilement, right? Something that makes a person unfit to be in a social setting, in a camp, okay? And as I read earlier, as Isaiah said, hey, I'm an unclean man, man of unclean lips, all right? What we are, right? We are all unclean. We are all unclean because we are all born in sin. Whatever the sin touches, it defiles. And only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away the sin. Matter of fact, I'm wearing a shirt right now, which you cannot see, right? What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Christ. Nothing but the blood of Christ. What I read this verses 44 to 46 is, it talks to us about two things, right? It talks to us about defilement. When you are infected with leprosy, there is serious consequences. And what leprosy does is it defiles the whole body. It defiles the whole body, okay? And let me illustrate this to you if you would choose to turn to Psalm 51. Let me show you from that great psalm of repentance, okay? Psalm 51. And we will go rather quickly through this, okay? When you look at that David's prayer of repentance, what you can't help notice is that sin has infected or defiled his whole body. Okay, his whole body. Look at verse 3, which speaks to us about his eyes. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. That speaks of his eyes, okay? Look at verse 6. It says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, right? That speaks of the heart and the mind. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. That speaks of his mind. Look at verse 8. It says, make me hear. Speaks of his ears. Joy and gladness. That the bones, he also mentions the bones. So we have ears and we have bones. You have broken, may rejoice. Okay, so we have the eyes, we have the ears, we have the bones, we have the mind. Look at verse 10, where the heart is again mentioned, right? One of the great verses in the Bible. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. His heart, he knew all of these things needed cleansing. In verses 13 to 15, which I will not read, it speaks to us about his mouth. His mouth. Look at verse 14. It talks to us about his hands. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. And as I said, mouth, it says, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. He understood that he was completely defiled. That's why in verse 2 and verse 7, he talks about washing. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 7 says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Remember that word hyssop, because we will be looking at that next week. And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. He understood he needed the washing. He needed the washing, because without the washing of the word, right, it's impossible to be cleansed. It's impossible to be cleansed. Verse 40, going back to Leviticus and verse 46, which is a devastating word, a verse, because it speaks to us about a complete isolation. Okay, complete isolation. Look what it says over there. He shall be unclean all the days he has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Right? Complete isolation. You are, if you look at it from the perspective of the church, you are out of the church. Especially when you look at the scripture, you look at the nation of Israel. Everything revolved around a synagogue, right? Your whole existence was attached to synagogue. In old days, your whole existence was attached to the church. You could not even work if you were put out of the synagogue. And you know, today, we take the discipline very lightly. Today's church, discipline is non-existent in most cases. But the scripture is very clear about how we are to deal with sin. Read the letter to the Corinthians that Paul writes in regards to a guy who was sleeping with his stepmother. He says, put him away. It's better that his flesh is destroyed. Put him away. Put him out of sight of the church. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 18, and I'm going to read verses 15 to 17, and I'm against the clock. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him to be you like a heathen and a tax collector. You see the severity of discipline. If your brother sins against you, now again, as we established earlier, this needs to be investigated, right? You need to seek it out diligently, search it out, not just make a quick, hasty decision. But once it is established, let him to be you like a heathen and a tax collector. How many times we excuse sin in our friends, our brothers, our sisters, because we rather offend God than offend them. We rather not offend the people who are in the church than offend God. It's okay if you compromise the word of God. That's fine. As long as I'm not offending and I'm well-liked where I'm sitting, I don't want to face the consequences. But the scripture says something else. It says, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Think about that. This is what it meant when we read in verse 46, right? He had to scream out about a football field distance. Hey, if anybody approached him, unclean, unclean. Whenever somebody approached him, and he would be outside the camp until he was either dead, okay, or he was healed. And as I said to you before, no one was ever healed of leprosy. This was a devastating. It's a devastating effect. You know, so often you hear, especially if you witness, people say, "Hey, I'm going to have a plenty of friend in hell." But the greatest tragedy of hell is complete isolation. Complete isolation. Right? And that's what we are dealing with when we go into the next section, when we look at verse 52, verse 50, 5, verse 57. Look at what verse 52 says, okay? It says, he shall therefore burn the garments in which is the plague, whether warp or woof, in a wool or in a linen, or anything of leather, for it is an active leprosy. The garment shall be burned in the fire. It affected the things that you owned, okay? That defiled garment was to be burned in the fire. It was to be burned in the fire. There is no purification ceremony. There is nothing that can cleanse those that clothing. And you can read that whole section in interest of time. I'm not reading it, okay? That piece of garment had to be burned. It had to be destroyed. Right? And this is, if this doesn't speak to us clearly about what the sin is, then there is nothing else that will, okay? Nothing else will. Couple of verses, couple of references that I want to give to you, okay? Mark chapter 9, verse 44. It says over there, there worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 24 says this. Okay, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 24 says, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. They shall be in abhorrence to all flesh. Okay, which place is this speaking of? When you look at Isaiah chapter 66, for those of you who were part of that Bible study, we know it is speaking of the end times, right? This is speaking of the judgment of God, right? And when we see Jesus, when we speaking of hell, he used the word Gehenna. That's what we just read in Mark chapter 9 and Isaiah chapter 66, okay? And what Gehenna is, right? It was a place outside of a Jerusalem wall where there was a fire burning constantly. It was basically a garbage dump. And there was a constant smell and a constant burning of that garbage. That is the place that was called Gehenna. That is what is being referred to here in Mark chapter 9 and Isaiah chapter 66. And so those of us who are infected with leprosy, or as we have been studying, with sin, this is what needs to be done. We will be burned. It says, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. It's not quenched. That fire will never, that fire will never go out. What a torment. Hell is a very real place, and I know there are a lot of churches today, a lot of men of God who refuse to speak about hell. But hell is as real as anything. Jesus spoke about hell more than heaven in the scripture. There is that fire that does not quench, and if you have not been washed, if you have not been cleansed of your sin, that is the place you are going to end up. God did not make that place for me and you. God did not make that for us. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 tells us, look who the hell was made for. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was never meant for us. We have been deceived by Satan to go to that place because we refuse to confess, we refuse to repent and accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. The consequences of leprosy were temporary, but the consequences of sin, unrepented sin, is eternal. It's eternal. And as I said to you when we started out the Bible study, there is no cure for leprosy. There was no cure for leprosy. You died. You died in that isolation. You died. But there is a cure. There is a remedy for sin. What is that remedy? The cross. It's always about the cross, right? That sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, that blood that was shed on that cross for me and you, so we may have life and life eternal. That's where you need to look. There is a cure. There is a remedy available for sin. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And so today, as we end this Bible study, have you trusted in Him? Have you trusted in Him? And if you have trusted in Him, are you telling others the good news? That they don't have to be lepers. That they don't have to be infected with a leprosy. You don't have to go to that unquenching fire. You don't have to go to that garbage dump. There is a remedy available. Are you preaching? Are you sharing the good news with others? Right? As somebody has said, right, what is sharing the gospel? One beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread. That's all it is. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to know the doctrine back and forth. You don't have to know every verse, and you don't need to explain everything. All you need to tell people is what God has done for you and how He has changed your life. That's all you need to do. That's all you need to do. And me and you serve a God who can save anyone. Who can save anyone? There is no leprosy that He cannot heal. And so today I hope that everyone who's listening to me right now has been cleansed by the blood of God. It is my strongest, my deepest desire of my heart that all of you who are listening to me right now have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you are listening to this on a recording, and if you have not yet given your life to God, I don't know where you are. You guys listen all over the place, all over the world. I don't know where you are. I will never know you. But if you have not made that decision, let today be the day of your salvation. Let today be the day you are cleansed of your leprosy. There is only one who can do it, and His name is Jesus. Oh, Father, we come to You in the name of that Jesus. Jesus, name above all name, name that saves, name that has power, name that cleanses. Lord, I submit each and every person here into Your hand, Lord. If there is an indecision, Lord, Lord, impress upon them that let today be the day that they get off the fence and accept You as a Lord and Savior. And for those of us who know You, Lord, if there are still things that we need to surrender to You, Lord, if there are still defilement in our body, Lord, like David, Lord, we pray, cleanse us. Cleanse us, Lord. If there is anything that needs to be removed from our life, cleanse us, Lord. Give us that obedient walk, Lord. And then give us the boldness to share the good news with the world that is perishing, the world that is heading toward hell. Lord, I submit each and every person here into Your hand. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.